Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at jwright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial, 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But even if you're not celebrating National Radio Day with a radio, you can always listen to us online. We are streaming not only on the Odyssey app, where you can... of course, stream anytime, anywhere. You can even listen on demand. We're also available on iHeartRadio as well as TuneIn. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on Twitter, on X, at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day, Jeffrey. How's it going?
It's going well, my man. Where can people catch you tonight?
Catch me down in South Haven at Dan McGinnis on Goodman Road. Come on out. Play some more music bingo. It is a great time every time.
We're going to start advocating people getting out. I think that's where we're going to start with. And my company, as he is each and every Wednesday, is the MC of Fun and Games. He's also the host of Writer Than Right Trivia. That will be Thursdays on the Jeff Calkins Show, 10:30 a.m. Central Daylight Time. You'll be playing for James Taylor tickets. You can see him at Bank Plus Amphitheater, September the 13th. He's also a man that knows how to get people into the buildings of downtown, CerritoEntertainment.com. On Twitter, on X, at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
How are you, Jeffrey? Yes, I'm always advocating for people to get out of the house. And despite what some people may have you believe, people still do like getting out of the house and doing stuff. And we, 5 nights a week, Monday through Friday, people are going out, whether it's in DeSoto County to play some bingo or trivia with George hosting. We're out in Carville, where I'll be tonight, but we'll also be downtown.
Which Carville?
The Huey's Carville.
Okay.
I'll be out there tonight. And we'll be downtown tonight, right? Downtown Memphis tonight. You can go to Memphis Filling Station right there by Wiseacre. It is the newest brewery in town. We got music bingo happening there, and we've got trivia happening not too far from there at the Ghost River Tap Room on South Main. So we're downtown. There will be people out downtown having a great time downtown tonight. It is possible, and it's something I recommend, whatever part of town you like to go to. CerritoEntertainment.com. Find out where we're at.
So coming up here in just a moment, we're going to get into, of course, the news of the last couple of days. Instead of focusing on problems, Kevin and I, we want to talk through this. We want to ask what we think are pertinent questions, but also we've tried to come up with some additional solutions. I don't know if you'd call them solutions since neither one of us have the power to do anything. So
well,
maybe
do.
Like suggestions?
We do. I think power is an important part of this whole thing, but I mean, we do have the power of these airwaves, right? Like this is
on National Radio Day. Oh, by the way, happy birthday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you. Yes. I mean, this is a top rated radio station. So I know some people are listening that do have the power to do it, and I hope they stay tuned here because I want to remain optimistic and for us to brainstorm a little bit. And really just figure out, A, how we got here, and then how do we get, remain in the position of having a team, right? How do we get here, and how do we keep from keeping the team, right? For so many years, the city tried unsuccessfully to get a professional team. Now we have one, and we're in the position of how do we keep it? And that's an important thing to be at.
Okay, so we will start there if we have time, because this is a topic that is very near and dear to Kevin and my heart. So if we wind
we
up...
We talked on the phone yesterday for a long time about it.
My wife didn't...
I ran into dinner time almost.
Well, my wife came home, and I'm out watering the yard because basically my yard looks like it's been completely nuked. So I'm watering the yard, and she sees that I'm on the phone. She has no idea. Then Kevin and I were on the phone, and then she was like, "Well, what is happening? Like, you never talk on the phone this much." I was like, "Oh, you have no idea." And I filled her in on, of course, what had been happening the last couple of days. So we'll talk through some of that. If we have time to get to the TV timeout, we will do it during the next segment. CJ Hurt is definitely going to join us during hour number two. We'll get into the list. Whether or not we get into, we obviously got to talk the big news of the Tigers getting the re-upping of the FedEx money. Talk about that. Ed Scott also spoke today. He had some interesting comments that I wanted to discuss with Kevin. But I think I want to start right here, Kevin. Obviously, it's the topic of the day, but I have the gift of 4 hours of microphone time per day, or I should say per weekday. So you've been listening.
I've been listening, yes.
You've been taking notes. You've been having thoughts. So I think what I want to do is I want to hand it over to you, and you kind of talk me through what's been going through your head or questions that you have. Like, I want to hand it over to you.
Sure, yeah. I have no problem leading this here for a moment. But, well, first of all, I want to, like, talk about where we're at, right? Like, there's the constant saying that the Grizzlies are not doing anything that they want to leave, right? So we get established. That is seems to be the established narrative that you're hearing, that the Grizzlies are acting like they want to stay. They've always acted like they want to stay. I mean, is that something that you agree with when you're hearing this from everybody? Do you see anything that the Grizzlies have done that have made you think that they want to leave the Grizzlies as an organization? They keep saying, "Oh, well, they wouldn't be taking people on tours if they wanted to leave, or they wouldn't have a Memphian as the president of the organization if they didn't want to leave." And here's one that I disagree with, this point that people like to bring up. If it makes you feel better, that's great. But the fact that the Grizzlies stayed when they had an out before has nothing to do with this current situation. So I just, for the record, like, the fact that the Grizzlies could have left before and didn't has nothing to do with 2025 current situation and the values of teams today in the NBA and the word out of markets that want NBA teams. So that has nothing, like, the past actions have nothing to do with the current actions that could happen. So I do want to say that's out the window. But I do agree, kind of, the Grizzlies have not acted like they wanted to leave. Like, do you
so I think this
have
is
anything to push back on that?
So the only thing I would push back is, let's take that statement right there, because I think it's complicated. They clearly, publicly, and with their actions, have never done anything to leave. They've never threatened to leave, and there have been lots of examples of teams use. Like, I mean, honestly, let's take a look at the Redbirds.
Before, the Redbirds released a statement.
Correct.
When 901 FC left town, threatening
correct.
To leave.
Well, they remember last fall, I think it was like about a year ago. Remember when they were trying to get their renovations, like. They dangled out the MLB contract is up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like
the Redbirds have threatened to leave.
Correct. Publicly.
Yes.
Like, so it is a negotiation tactic. The Grizzlies have never done such a thing. What complicates it, though, is the Grizzlies as an organization is also a different thing than Robert Parra. Because what it really boils down to is the Grizzlies as an organization can operate a certain way. But if Robert Parra decides, I want to move the team, well, then we're now in a predicament. And now it's not as simple as Robert Parra snapping his fingers saying, I want to move the team. You got to have 16 other owners, governors, whatever, sign off.
Which they will. Very rare.
Well, here's where it gets a little complicated.
If he's saying Seattle or Las Vegas in there, I think it would be.
So where it can get complicated is, If you just paid $4.5 billion for the Portland Trailblazers, and part of that purchase price, because you went over value, I guess I should say, he paid a sum of money that meant the team is valued at $4.5 million. I need everybody to start paying attention to this. Notice how they're not saying it's sold for $10.6 million.
Yes.
They're always saying the valuation, which is somebody paid a portion of money that if you multiplied it by to 100% would equal that money, but that's not the amount of money that's changing hands, but the NBA is very much in tell your story mode right now. So if you are someone that just paid for the Portland Trailblazers, part of the calculation is I'm the only NBA team in the Pacific Northwest.
Sure, but I mean historically they weren't. So I do, but I do see
historically what you're saying. They weren't. But if I'm one of those guys, now granted it's a new owner, so how much clout is he going to have? Now he owns the Carolina Hurricanes as well.
They may not get his vote.
But what I'm saying is, can you put together a faction to vote
or
against
form an
it?
Alliance, as right. we would say on reality television?
Right? Can you form an alliance? I mean, we all watch Game of Thrones. Like, you know, can you align yourself with particular houses?
I mean. That's possible, but the long-standing that doesn't seem to have changed necessarily is that the NBA owners kind of always vote, or any owners in any league vote an okay for moving because they know that they want to be able to have that option themselves down the line. But we don't
so
know.
Here's what I would say is, publicly that seems true, but oftentimes what happens is when these teams are thinking about moving and it gets shut down, we don't hear about it.
Sure.
And so we only, the reason why it seems like they bat 1,000 is by the time it becomes public, we know.
But to your point, like the Seattle's not the only city. Seattle's the one publicly that the NBA mentioned. And
oh, I want to stake, this is where I want to also play
Las
my
Vegas.
Flag. I am infinitely more scared of Las Vegas than I am of Seattle.
They have a lot of money and they could remain the Grizzlies. Because what Seattle's going to do is absorb a team, I would think, because they're going to become the Supersonics again with the Supersonics history. So whatever team moves to Seattle is going to completely erase the other team from existence if they get a team to relocate. Because
well,
part of their deal
I
is they
actually
own the
think,
history
no,
and the
I,
name.
See, I think that is, this is also a complicating factor. I think that's true if you get an expansion team. If you relocate, they have the option to do that, but like, that's not because to your point, like they have
Seattle
the open
of all
rights.
Places. I think they it's a very possibility. It's a strong possibility that Seattle, whoever they get, is going to become the Supersonics, and whatever team they got, like it's kind of going to fade into.
I think that will be the result. But what I'm saying is, it
Thanos
is going to be
snapping his fingers.
It's going to be more complicated if it's relocation rather than expansion.
Sure, but if that is the case, you'd rather take the Bobcats. I know that they're Hornets now, or the Pelicans, two teams that their history really does not matter. Not that the Grizzlies' history matters to people outside of here anyway. But anyway, back on track. So I do pick Las Vegas as a threat, even though publicly the commissioner didn't say Las Vegas in his
which
most
is
recent
also,
statements.
Which is also why I pay attention to what don't they say. Because oftentimes what they say publicly, that's the dangling. So forever, now it ends up not working, but forever the NFL loved the fact that there wasn't NFL teams in L.A. Why? Because every time that they
I loved it because I was like, hey, Memphis and L.A., you're never the same. We don't have NFL teams.
Well, oh. And we both have downtowns that need fixing up. But they love to dangle that carrot to get cities to pay more for stadiums.
Then once one went there, another one was there like the
well,
next year.
That was the whole the whole and like part of like to my point. Davis wanted to move the Raiders back to LA and the NFL was like, no, go sit in the corner. You don't actually have power here. Your mom owns the team. And then Stan Kroenke, who does have power in that room, was like, I'm moving to LA and they're like, okay. And then the Spanos like, well, I want to move to LA too. It's like that's how that whole thing works.
But so the situation currently, as far as we know, Robert Parrott does not want to sell the team. That he does enjoy owning the team the way he owns the team, which is travel to Memphis and secretly go to games or not watch the games
or maybe
on his
watch
phone.
Or watch on his ubiquity internet stream.
Right. He seems to enjoy that. But does not that all the reports of that the team could be jumping up $1 billion in value if it moves. If he sees that, you got to...
I want to push back on that.
It's possible.
That's a little irresponsible.
But it's crazy that that's the number everybody's putting out.
It is. Is it possible?
You move the team, it's worth $1 billion more.
Is it possible? Yes. But everyone is acting like all things are equal. They have complete control of this arena.
Yeah.
If they move to, for instance, Seattle, yes, Seattle's a wealthier market. Yes, Seattle is a bigger market. He's not going to own the arena.
And you're not going to own the market. It's the only major league pro sports team. They lost the Sonics for a reason before.
Correct.
And so, but anyway, but as far as we can kind of agree, for the most part, we haven't seen any signs that the Grizzlies have acted like they wanted to move. So we agree on that. We feel like the Grizzlies, we can still win them over. There's still an opportunity based off of what's out here. It's not like they're ready to go. They're not packing their bags. But I'm glad you brought up, like, you're interested in what they don't say. Because, look, I don't really dive into conspiracy theories, but I've been keeping a very close eye on how the Grizzlies have been treated by the National Basketball Association and Adam Silver, and for instance. Like, it's just disrespectful if you're Adam Silver to mention when they're saying we're not going to expand, but we would love to have a team in Seattle, in pretty much the same breath that he did a few weeks ago. Like, he may not realize that that can cause panic in these cities with the vulnerable franchises with leases that are out there, but, like, he should have more respect for those markets. But we've already talked about it for a lot on this radio station going into this week about the Grizzlies not having an MLK Day game on their schedule. And they didn't have – they don't get the Bane return game because the Grizzlies are going overseas. What a great opportunity. I still don't see the opportunity for the Grizzlies. For the NBA, yes. Grizzlies – for Ja Morant, it's going to be a great opportunity. He's going to probably sell more shoes. But for the Memphis Grizzlies, I still really need to be convinced on how it's better than having to sell out games at home, embracing your fans. But the full schedule came out this week. And Jeffrey, I do not remember a time in history that you could say that the Grizzlies have a bad schedule. You shouldn't have to. As an NBA city, you should never get a schedule and say, oh my goodness, my team has a bad schedule. It's not the SEC where you're like, oh, wow.
The American.
It's not. Well, the American schedule is terrible, but like if the SEC where you get a schedule and like you've got Kentucky at home this year and Vanderbilt at home, like you've got like.
But the Georgia-Florida games are on the road, yeah.
Yeah, the NBA schedule is very easy to understand.
The point of these leagues is to not
it's
have
the same
that
schedule.
Correct.
The sun rises, right? Like, it's just like, it's a joke that like, oh, the schedule's coming out. I can't wait to, you know, break it down. Like, but this is actually a year that you could say, I can say right now, and I'll say it, the Grizzlies got the worst schedule in franchise history. It's such an absurd sentence to say, but they're, without question, this is the worst Memphis Grizzlies schedule in franchise history. So it makes me think, I don't like conspiracy theories, but it feeds into this energy that I'm already getting from Adam Silver, is that they don't really care about the Grizzlies, or if they're hurting the Grizzlies, or they don't want to ensure that the Grizzlies are being successful. They're not trying to take care of everybody. That the Grizzlies schedule, this is the worst, like the idea that you can say the sentence about an NBA schedule, because it should be just the most vanilla basic thing ever, but like, the fact is, the schedule came out, and it is. No one can argue with me that it is the worst schedule in Memphis Grizzlies franchise history. No MLK Day game, no return game for the star that you just traded away. You get the Warriors once, you only get the Lakers once, and you got to play them on Halloween, which is not a good holiday to play on. I'm sorry, it'll be all right, but I would rather play them the day after Halloween or the day before Halloween when you're guaranteed a sellout. You're not guaranteed that on Halloween.
No Blackout Friday game.
Yeah. Oh, also no Thanksgiving. Like, there's no Thanksgiving weekend games. This is the worst schedule. So it makes me wonder, how much does the league care? Now, if the Grizzlies want to be here, but the association doesn't really care if the Grizzlies are here and they feel like their contracts on television will be better if there's not a team here, how much influence can they have for potential new owners of the Grizzlies or the Pelicans, you know, or the Bobcats, whoever? I still call them the Bobcats. But they,
like it matters. That was going to also be my counter argument. Anybody know how wealthy Charlotte is? How big that market is? That team's worth about $3.5 billion.
Yeah.
You're just telling me, snap your fingers. This is where it gets irresponsible when people start doing if you move it overnight,
it's going to be. But if this is a week of what we talk about, the magic word, the word of the day, if I can shout out, you know, Pee Wee Herman here, we'll all scream every time you hear.
I'm more of a letter of the day guy.
Perception. Perception. You scream when you hear it on, Pee-wee, but scream when you hear Perception on the radio right now. Like, the perception, that's been the conversation. The perception is that you can move the team and make more money. That could influence some business decisions. And the league, I think, I mean, it doesn't hurt the league to have a bigger TV market with a team, right? Are they?
See, I don't even think that's, in the end, why
when
would
you're
the,
selling these packages.
It's like, well, no, I don't even think that matters. What does matter, because you got to remember, when we say the league, let's all be real. We're talking about the people that own the teams, because that's what we're talking about.
And the commission.
The advantage, but he works for them.
But he has his vision of what he sees the league being, which right, is but different his, but let's than be the real. Previous guy.
But who does he work for?
But he works for the owners.
Correct. So the advantage would be for them is if you have another team, if you keep raising the floor. So if you took a team that was one of your least valuable teams and moved them up, now you're just moving the floor up of how much their team is worth.
Right.
Now, these things are just new, like, art pieces for rich guys. Like, that's just like, there's no way that you, like, actually justify it, but it's just like they want to have it. So, going to your point, wouldn't call myself conspiracy guy. I've always thought of myself, though, you give me a couple of pieces of hard evidence that are incontrovertible, I'll listen to you. I'll listen to your literature. I have oftentimes thought the axiom of nobody thinks about you more than you.
Right.
I've oftentimes thought the Grizzlies kind of do that, or Grizzlies fans do that with Adam Silver, and that like they invent like that he's out to get them.
Sure.
When in general,
I don't care about national TV, Jeffrey.
Yeah,
I don't care about
but
that.
But I'm looking at it this
that
way.
That makes sense in the numbers. I understand. Whatever. National TV, whatever. I'll watch Pete.
Yeah, but this, I will say this. This is the first time where I think in general, I'm still of this belief.
I don't know how you have a bad schedule, but this is an awful schedule. Well, yes, it's just terrible.
Well, like to your
as
point.
As far as number of sellouts that the Grizzlies are going to have is drastically, and like at least five sellouts have been taken off the board. 2, 3, 4, 5. Yes, at least five sellouts are not there. Well, 6, really, because I mean the Lakers game is on Halloween. That is going to be a tricky sellout.
Well, to the overall points, like I don't think Silver supports Memphis, but I'm not convinced he actively works against him.
Sure, and that's where I could probably.
But with this schedule, this is the first time where you go, huh? Because hang with me here.
They're not putting Memphis in position to succeed, but I'll hang in here.
If I tell you the Lakers are only coming to town once, you go, all right, that's a bummer, but. Hey, the way the schedule works with teams in the West,
that makes sense.
It's going to rotate. There's just going to be
years. You'll get them again next year.
Correct. You'll get them twice next year, but it just works that way. Fine.
But then you tell me it's also on Halloween, and I'm like.
Well, and then I throw in the fact, oh, by the way, you're only getting the Warriors once. Because usually it's going to be,
okay. So,
all right, we'll get one of them once, one of them twice. You know, some years it lines up, you're going to get them 4 times. Maybe sometimes you only get them 3. But now you got that. All right. Historically, Blackout Friday is always a highly attended game. The MLK game is something that they invented and made into a thing, and they've taken that away. Now, let's also take what I think is objectively true. We are going to.
The Desmond Bane game would have sold out a game on the schedule.
Got damn close.
A typical game that would not matter on the schedule against the Orlando Magic, unless Penny was suiting back up again, then that would have been a sellout. It would have been close.
You don't
to
think Paolo's motivating people?
No.
Okay. So now all of those things happened in one schedule.
One schedule. That makes it the worst schedule in franchise history.
Well, now this is where I start to go, all right, I'm listening. The Grizzlies are going to be. Like, we can talk about downtown, and we are, believe me.
We're going to get to that. But
like, what they're clearly going to be.
Well, you talked about this morning with attendance.
If downtown were still facing this every challenge it does, which is unavoidable, but if the building was packed every single night, we'd not be having this conversation. And now, if you're telling me a league knows, hey, this is where, like, when I'm saying I'm not convinced that even though the Grizzlies are publicly saying and doing all the things that make you feel good, isn't that exactly what you do? Is you lay out the checklist and go, oh, well, you didn't do it. Thanks. See you later.
Right. If attendance is as big a deal as y'all talked about this morning, which I do believe like it is, it's important to have great attendance. That's a big part of this whole enterprise, this the business that they're in, right? But like the Grizzlies are not being put in a position to succeed in this season of all seasons with the lease out there. There's nothing, Jeffrey, I don't know. Outside of the Grizzlies being awesome and a top 1-2 seed throughout the entire season and really getting people excited, which is possible, but also not easy, especially in the Western Conference. We know this. We don't take these things for granted. But outside of the Grizzlies being successful themselves as one of the best teams in the association, the built-in games that it doesn't matter how great your team is,
yep.
The Grizzlies don't have those this year. They have one Golden State game.
Right, your free spaces.
Yes. And it would be like testing, like judging the Tigers football attendance if they played Iowa State at home, which I think they probably did, right, at some point.
But they played them in a Liberty Bowl.
Right, like how many people went to the Iowa State?
It's like when you use the before they got good and like actually had some sellouts in 2019, whenever they take the picture of the stadium at the Ole Miss game and then they blur out like the red,
yeah,
and you're like, okay, it looks full. But like maybe like the Arkansas game this year, it'd be like basing that as the standard,
right? And
that brings me though to this is where I do think. All right,
nothing we can do about that. So I guess that's the establishment of like, I just wanted to figure out where we were, and I don't think there's much we can do about the NBA or Adam Silver's view of Memphis as a market size-wise, right? And all of that. And is there something we could do? You know, they keep saying the crime issue for some reason has, like, everybody is talking like they're Stephen A. Smith here all of a sudden, and we're talking about crime on the radio in Memphis and crime all the time. I thought we established that, like, most of these NBA markets have similar crime rates as Memphis. I thought we established that during the Stephen A. Smith month of the summer.
It's the convenient excuse. This is the Houston's example that I would always give. When Houston's left town and lit the world on fire with their statement, they closed down restaurants throughout the country all the time. Like, yep. I looked it up. They'd closed down like 20 in like the last 4 or 5 years. No statements from any of those. It's one of those things where it's easy to pile on and throw this. Does that mean that this doesn't exist? No, but what I would counter with is the crime that happens at Bridgestone Arena and the area surrounding Bridgestone Arena is documented as worse than the crime that happens at FedEx Forum. Why is that not a talking point?
I don't know.
Now, granted, they do have more events, and it's obviously a higher traffic area. Like, you know, it's right there basically on Broadway. And so, like, you have more happening.
Maybe that's why they didn't get the WNBA.
But also, I would put this out: one of the NFL aggregator Twitter accounts put out last week. It was like crime per 1,000 people, most dangerous NFL cities. Nashville came in at 5th.
Wow, yeah.
not a talking point. And this is not a Memphis versus Nashville thing. My point is.
But
is,
I mean, maybe it should be in this conversation. We need our better response talking points on some of this stuff.
My larger point is if we are actually trying to say, all right, like I'm actually trying to identify the problem. I'm not trying to identify the hot button issue that gets people talking.
The crime thing gets people talking, but also it gets this level of, well, we won't be able to keep them because it's such a big problem that's an unachievable problem. That it makes everybody deflated when it's like, well, we can't just snap our fingers and we're working on this. We are trying. We've been trying for decades and decades. It's just a complicated, hard problem, and we're not going to be able to fix it quickly now that the Grizzlies say we need to fix it. So to me, I hate it being thrown out there is the idea that people are hinting at the fact that that's what needs to be. I don't feel like that's, we need to fix the city's crime problem in order to keep the Grizzlies.
I don't know if anyone's read a history book. Fixing the problem, I can tell you this. If the whole idea is to get crime to close to zero, that will not happen. They should move now. Like, just get it over with.
But so, it's not. Well, I don't think. Yeah.
That's why I actually think the larger problem is people in the building. And so the real question becomes,
it's getting people,
why? And because that did not used to be a problem. So hang with me here.
Yes, I'm listening. Yeah.
All right. Number one, I don't think it's, I think it's unavoidable. It seems to me, maybe because we don't have the number of people and the size of the market, but since the pandemic, we did not need much motivation to tell us stay home and watch on TV. Yeah. Because we really took that to heart. And it's hurt almost every institution that we have across all spectrums. Churches are having attendance problems. The zoo has even mentioned attendance problems. Our stadiums, arenas, all of it. You go across the board, attendance, restaurants, everything. Now,
The great thing about restaurants, the numbers are up on to go. So
correct, but like you also acknowledge that, okay, another contributing factor, the price, and this is where the Grizzlies also deserve some blame. You telling me that because a computer says that this is the optimal price for your seats, and yet you don't sell the tickets, you have not optimized your price. The computer's wrong. So that needs to be evaluated. I also think there is this weird reality of, despite this team being good, there is not the connection with this team. And I'm not even going to do the make themselves available to the media, because I think that's self-serving. And
it comes across as that, but I mean, it's
but
it's
they clearly
true.
Do not have a connect. There is it's. They do not have the same connection that the other good teams have had.
Without a doubt.
So, and then also, this is the take a look in the mirror part of the segment.
This is definitely, you're telling the Grizzlies some things they could do to improve, but honestly, it seems like they think we need to improve some stuff, so we'll get back to that. But what else? You've got ticket prices are high, especially for one of the poor markets in the NBA.
Yes.
Size and money-wise, we are
They used to always...
Low.
Here's how you know the ticket prices are actually high. They used to always promote the cheapest tickets in the NBA.
Right.
When's the last time you heard that? It's basically right around 15.
And so tickets and then just the way they haven't really tried to connect with the community.
Well, and then I think this is also out of their control, but this is a reality. Nobody knows what the value of an NBA regular season game is. And on top of that, also not really in their control, the level of difficulty to watch the team, because I'm not saying, hey, everybody here, you got to start going, you got to spend 10 grand and go to 41 NBA games. I'm not saying that. Mm-hmm. But what has also contributed to a lot of the issues is one of the ways that it's really easy to fall in love with a team, you watch them every night, and you go, these are my guys. Like, you find things that you like in teams, and that builds a connection. Well, we've made it harder than ever to figure out where they are.
Or to stumble upon them.
Correct.
In the days of people becoming Cubs fans on WGN and Braves fans on the Superstation TBS.
Yes.
I mean, wrestling fans in a similar way. Like, if you stumble upon this, because it was on television.
Yes. And so, like, we've created, like, all of these things, I think, are, to some degree, contributing factors. I don't know what the pie chart looks like, but I think these are the factors.
And that's to getting people into the building. And
correct.
I agree. And I don't know, you know, but at the same time, if it's still NBA basketball, you still have one of the best players in the world
and
on
this
your team,
like,
and John Morant.
This kind of goes into...
when he plays.
People going to games.
Well, that's what...
But there's also this weird... Well, I'll just say this. There was... Because Harrington made this point. If you look at Thunder games, it seems to be a community-like statement of...
Right.
They go to their games.
And for me, I felt like that's what Tiger games were like. Under John Calipari,
There was, but then that transition... You're definitely right on that.
Yeah.
I mean, they were selling out the Forum for Conference USA games.
Correct, yeah.
So there was that, but then it did morph into, during the 2010s, it was, we go to Grizzlies games. Like, it was a social event. There was like an expectation. You go to the games. It was also cheaper to go, but you went. That has gone away, and now it feels like the I'm a better fan than you is like, did I argue online that Zach Edey is worthless and that Jalen Wells is undervalued and Gigi should be playing more? That seems to be like the sticking points of whether or not you're fans, like if you hold those opinions to be true. And I think we need to get back to the former rather than the latter.
Sure. I think, and that's, but a lot of things you have listed here, like are things that the Grizzlies could do to improve their relationship with the fans. Cause I don't want, and I think maybe that's where we're coming on this is like, I think it's important to stress that I don't feel like it is the fault though of the Memphis fan. It's harder than ever to watch the game. Like you're saying, we don't know these players. Ticket prices are out of control. Like to blame the Memphis fan or the casual fan or the Memphian because we don't do what Oklahoma City does, I think is hard. In some way, it's like, yes, it matters where you spend your money. I say that all of the time. Like I will not spend my money. I'll say that. Like on Amazon, like there's certain companies I do not support. Like as a small business owner, I want to make sure
Delta, but I'm married.
Delta is one of those companies. They screwed over Memphis. Well, I'm sorry. Well, you won't get my business again. I will pay more to fly somewhere else. And I always hope like pay more. Like if it costs if it's your favorite restaurant, but it's a little bit further for you to drive that little bit further distance. If it's your favorite place to go, it costs a little bit more than getting it cheaper somewhere else, just a little bit more, and you can afford it. We'll support that local place that you want to be there.
Do you shop at Whole Foods? Important.
What's it?
Do you shop at Whole Foods?
I do not shop at Whole Foods. No.
Okay, I just want to make sure you weren't.
I know they're harder and harder.
Listen, we got to keep everybody accountable here.
Occasionally I will make an Amazon purchase, but you know I will go out of my way.
Just blame it on your wife.
It's not personal, yeah, with me, but to support other. It's hard. I don't. But anyway.
So convenient.
But back on track. So it matters where you spend your money. But I think it's hard to blame the Memphians. It's also hard to blame the Grizzlies. I wonder. Most of my blame really goes to city leadership. I hate to go after former Mayor Strickland, who just I think followed me on Instagram last week. But like I feel like it's.
I really wish we had the money back for that convention center.
This is a dropping of the ball and losing sight. I don't know if it's a grass is always greener on the other side. We got distracted in some type of a way, but we lost sight. We got the Grizzlies here and we lost sight of what needed to be done to continue to make it successful. Obviously COVID happened and it hurt a lot of big cities and it hurt Memphis and inflation is in part of that and all that, which I thought was supposed to be fixed a long time ago, but it's not. It's
tremendous. Don't worry about it.
But
we accounted for it.
We've got, like...
Can I get you a hat?
So I don't like the idea of playing the blame game or think it's on the responsibility of it is, like, if you're a fan and you can't afford to do it, support the team because we want them to be here. Because that, at the end of the day, you don't really want them to be here if you never go. Like, what's the point of having them here? But it's... I think the biggest thing is the city leadership has got to figure this out. And I wonder, like, I don't care to know necessarily. Do you correct me if you feel like a different way. Do you care that we don't know what it is? I think the most important thing is that the city leaders know what it is. I think it's important that Paul Young knows specifically what the Grizzlies want and that he is communicating that to the people like Richard Smith, like Pitt Hyde, Shelby County Mayor Lee Harris, like that he's communicating it to the people with XAI. Whoever it is, like this is stuff that we need from the community to pull this off. Like if they know what it is and they execute it, that's great. If they don't know what it is either, then we're in like a not great negotiation thing if we don't know what that is. I don't care if I know. I want them to know. Because I feel like the pressure to me should be more on the corporate leaders. Jeffrey, you flash back to when we were very young and pushing for an NBA team, an NFL team in this city. And our leaders made the mistake. It wasn't the fans. The fans showed up. We went to sold out the Showboats. You know,
we had Reggie White.
Right. We were packing out all these random exhibition games. the fans were showing up saying, we want to be a major league city. But you know what happened? What screwed it all up for us is our leaders were so stupid back then, and the NFL wanted new stadiums.
Yeah.
And we said,
how would you like this new skybox?
Yeah, we don't need a new stadium. We can play tomorrow. We can start playing tomorrow. We have a great stadium here already. We're going to renovate, and we can start next season. But like the NFL's like, we don't want you to play next season. Yeah, we're looking at a few years down the line. We want a new stadium in 2 years.
Yeah. We'll play at Clemson for 2 years. Yeah. All right, let's talk about whether or not that matters. We got to take a break. We'll talk about that when we come back right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Shout out Varsity Blues.
How dare you?
That's when I first came to know this song.
Oh yeah,
Varsity Blues. When Moxon.
This is my entrance music.
Yeah,
Jeffrey.
There you go. All right, so I want to go back to your question that we finished with the break. Does it matter? How would you phrase the question? What was the overarching question of? Do you think this matters?
What? That I don't know. We had a,
But I'm saying, what was the antecedent of this?
Well, what I'm trying to figure out, I do think the fans, if you can support, it will help. But I went to the fact that the issue that we did not get an NFL team is because of poor decisions by the city leadership. And by that, I mean the politicians at the time and the money people at the time did not make happen what needed to happen. That could have happened. They could have found the money. They could have figured out a way at that time to build a new stadium.
Stadiums were a lot cheaper then.
Yeah, a lot cheaper. Build a new stadium, and Memphis would have had an NFL team. And they missed it. And here we are at this pivotal moment. I'm not sure. It's not as black and white to us right now, knowing what the Grizzlies want. It's not build a new stadium, apparently, which is great news. But it is.
Well, I mean,
improve their neighborhood.
I could tell you another way that the Grizzlies wouldn't move.
What?
If you did build a brand new arena.
If you built a new stadium. That could be it, right?
Because that was the other thing. I was looking up, because my first question
But then that's a whole nother show of where would we put it.
Well, Harrington made this point of how much different are Oklahoma City and Memphis? And
they just had a shooting in front of their
building,
too.
Well, I looked it up.
Yeah.
The GDP of Memphis is higher than the GDP of Oklahoma City. Now, I was like, okay, so how are they paying? Because they are building a billion-dollar arena. Now, I do think they have an advantage that we would not have.
Is that Texas oil money flow into Oklahoma?
Oh, yeah. listen, they have people so rich in Oklahoma from oil money.
There's it's rich people wearing cowboy hats.
There's a guy that just built a NBA arena in Tulsa for like 10 events a year just because he wanted an arena. Like that happened. So the advantage that they had was they added a 1 cent sales tax over the next 8 years. Somehow that is going to translate into $1 billion.
That's how they're doing it.
That is how they are financing. Then the Bennetts are kicking in like $50 million, and there's, but it's like 900 some odd million is coming from that. Now we do not have that option. Like, that's a state law, I believe, that you don't have that option.
And it's hard. That is, it's not only all the problems that we have in Memphis as far as poverty, and we have the the state not cooperating with us. We're always,
yeah,
like, felt like
I'm
we're
gonna
not.
Push, I'm gonna. I guess I'm gonna have to be Red State Jeff here.
All right.
I'm gonna push back on the whole. The state of Tennessee doesn't do anything for Memphis.
Well, the amount of money they gave,
guys,
course,
they
the
gave us
different.
$350 million cash. They didn't give Nashville that for a new stadium.
Okay. And we don't have time for this, but I will go ahead and make sure it's on the record. George, make sure this is on the record here, that I think we wasted the money on Sibbins Bank. I think that money.
Your boy was here.
So,
well, your boy was here.
Like, it's.
We've had this.
Like, and I'm in that weird spot here. Of like,
if we can, let's stop the construction now and leave it the way it is. I just stop it now and leave it the way it is, and let's save that money and invest it in somehow.
It's like one of those flaws that in in 100 years it'll be such like a. It's the Eiffel Tower was not well received,
but it's like making the same mistake again that we just did with the NFL.
I said this when we got the money. I go, we are going to wind up with two wildly underwhelming renovations, and it's not going to solve either problem.
Correct.
Is Memphis in the Big 12?
No.
Have the Grizzlies signed a long term lease?
Not yet.
All right, here we are. So does it matter? Yes, in the sense of. Having good leadership is always better for everyone.
No, having good leadership does matter. There's a debate about that.
Now,
the question is, can they do it? Can this group? Paul Young,
forget. I do want to specify this, though. I don't know if it would matter if the building was full.
Okay, what the?
I don't think we'd be having this issue
if the building was full. But that question is filling up. We listed all of the reasons why fans may not be coming. And and crime is on the list, but not necessarily the only reason that some people are acting like is on the list. You get a point, but also the team is not always going to be good. So I think you have to position yourself
to your point about an unfair double standard of what the Grizzlies are getting judged at. I'm not hearing any discussions about the people in Charlotte that are not going to Bobcats, Hornets games. I'm not hearing about
jump on board with the Bobcats.
I'm not hearing about the people that don't go to Hawks games.
Yeah.
I'll use even a new example. San Antonio is about to go through the same process. They've already told they've told the city that they are not going to renew their lease in 2032, and they want a brand new arena, and they want it downtown, and they want to control all the space around it.
I just remembered, I have some extra background on that from talking to the broadcasters for the San Antonio Spurs last time they were in town. Do you know a big reason why they want their own stadium?
Well, money.
Not just money. They, every single year, have to take a month-long rodeo.
The rodeo break.
That is like how quickly you forget. You know why they got that arena free?
Because of the rodeo.
They agreed to host the rodeo in there. So, like... That's a tell your story. I'm not saying it's a zero, but that is a tell your story. The real reason they want the arena, the new arena.
Oh, is for the money.
They want
but
the real estate around it. They want to control everything. Like, that's the reason they want it.
And for the team, that's a month of lost
rev. Correct. Okay. So they want it for that.
But to my point is like now, yes, it's the fans, if you can afford it, supporting the team matters more than ever before, even though the NBA is not giving us they've actually given us a historically terrible schedule.
And a historically terrible regular season product.
Sure, yeah. And even it makes it even harder to buy season tickets now if you're a Grizzlies fan because you have less games you could sell to help fund your season tickets because you have only one Warriors
game. Kevin, I've looked this up yesterday. If you go to Grizzlies.com and you go to the tickets thing, like it used to be you could just purchase season tickets on the website.
Right.
Pick your seats, do that. You now have to sign up to be an MVP, whatever, so that one of their ticket agents can call you and then go through. It's like, I just wanted to buy the tickets.
And that, I mean, that is a barrier of entry for especially the younger generation. At least with us, we're used to talking on the phone to people. But, like, my goodness, the people who just want to order everything.
And I'm not trying to take money out of the pockets of the ticket agents. I'm not trying to do that.
No, you're not at all.
But my point is, like, they've made it.
But
they've added a step.
Can you just give them their phone number and they text you and you just sign up on your phone like that? Is that an easy way to do it?
There's no more power packs. There are no more.
There are more power packs.
I assume we will
see. I know there's no Sonic Saver tickets, but.
Well, I mean, I assume power packs will happen when we get to November and they have tickets not unsold. So all of a sudden here they come.
I mean, I don't know what they're packaging together with this. All right, but the.
Well, Charlotte's coming to town.
The fans, there's only so much the fans can do because let's be honest, Jeffrey, we are poor. We don't have that much money.
Yes.
What's going to in order to make this happen is the money, and that's why I go back to the leaders. Paul Young, the mayor, who I will go ahead and say, I voted for him for mayor, right? And he was the downtown Memphis commission. He was in charge of it, the CEO. Of the, if anybody knows downtown, he should know it. And he at the time he was elected, was talking about how the city needed to do like their daily COVID calls, but like talking about crime and other issues with all the leaders get on the phone. Like, this is a time for Paul Young to have his daily Grizzlies calls and try to figure out what are we doing here for downtown Memphis and for the Grizzlies. And by that, I mean, we've got every successful city is partially run by the mayor, but also partially run by the big businesses that have the money and the influence.
Maybe more partially.
Right. But at Memphis, we've struggled on that at times. It has been what Fred wants to do a lot of the times, right? And that's kind of been it. And Pitt Hyde has his projects. But, like, how often do we – and a lot of them did come together to get the Grizzlies here. So I'm not going to discount that, right? Pitt Hyde leading that group of getting the Grizzlies here and FedEx throwing the name on the building. But, like, this is a time for the corporations that came together for the bid for the Big 12. We've got to come together and use this money to help make the Grizzlies happy and redevelop, or as you have said, just develop the area around FedEx Forum. So that's my point. I think there's something, I think money can help and business leadership and strategy can help. The Grizzlies obviously want what everybody wants, what San Antonio wants, what they built very successfully in St. Louis around their baseball stadium, which is they want that multi-purpose area around the mixed-use project. Around the stadium. And I'm sorry, Jeffrey, but I don't think Beale Street's the answer to that.
Well, I'm with you in the sense of, okay, Beale Street's been a thing our whole lives. Can someone name me the last major renovation in Beale Street?
But
We put the sign up with the glowing Beale Street.
When did B.B. King's open? I mean, Jeffrey, like, B.B. King's opened in, like, 1989, 1990, 1991. Like, it hasn't, like, you were living a part of a life where people did not go to Beale Street, Jeffrey. And, like, it was a big thing later on, and the newness wore off, and it became the thing that only tourists do that locals don't do. Like, there's a list of things people act like they rendezvous. Like, oh, that's just for tourists. But you know what? God, I love the rendezvous, and I go to the rendezvous. I like taking people to the rendezvous, and I enjoy eating the rendezvous. Some people put that in that category, right?
Not on this show.
Up there with, like...
They're not invited back.
Who's not...
People that do that are not invited back.
Oh, they're not back. But is there anything else in Memphis? Like, Graceland's the only thing that could come close, but even now we could go out there to concerts, and locals are more likely to want to go to Graceland to go to a concert.
There's a lot of really good, like, 90s, 2000s rock acts that come out.
Right.
Like,
and so,
man, I want to go see these guys in their,
like, Beale Street is like that. That
couple
is for
of rehab stints.
I don't know if we can rehab Beale Street's image
and
reputation for the locals, so we need to build something new, is what I'm saying. Something new that's an extension near.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.